Well, good morning, everybody. So great to be with you. If we haven't met, my name is Alex Grauman. I am the campus pastor over at our Torrance location, but every few weeks I get to come over here to Manhattan Beach to preach, so it's really, really nice. Boy, this is really meaningful to me that you're here with us this morning. And of course, even more meaningful is that we are connected now live with our great people over at Torrance. Love those people over there. And so happy that we can be in several different locations and still be one church this morning. Thanks for coming to church, everybody. As you probably heard, we are finishing up our series today called The Road. It has been a six-week journey through the book of Romans. I know that many of you have been tracking along with us as we've been reading this Bible book. So this is your last week to catch up before we start a new series. It really is worth your time to read the whole of the book of Romans, even though we've just been looking at selections during this series. But just to catch you up, if you haven't been with us, the book of Romans in the Bible, it's in the New Testament, and we call it a book, but it's actually a letter written by one of the very first Christian missionaries about 2,000 years ago. His name was Paul, and Paul was writing to his friends in a church that met in Rome, people from the city of Rome, still there in the modern day Rome, who were just starting to form one of the very first churches. And so it says it's his advice to them, and he really wants them to be bound and be unified together. Now, what I have loved about this series and the book of Romans itself is that the things that they were struggling 2,000 years ago with as far as trying to live a Christian life are so very similar to what we're facing today. Back in that time, Rome was the center, the hub of the largest empire of the day, the Roman Empire. And so they were trying to form a community of faith, a church, with the background of confused politics and economic power and some weird spirituality happening around them. Does that sound familiar to our day and age? They were also people of various, really diverse backgrounds, people who had come from lots of religious experience or no religious experience or different cultures, different age groups, and that's exactly what we're trying to build here, a diverse group of people who are going to follow God together. And that really is Paul's main message, that despite their differences, he wanted to root them together around the thing that is the most important. He wanted to root them around the love of God that is displayed through the sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus wants to forgive our sins, lead our life. In all of our diversity, he wants to come together around that one fact. He wants us to be a team. And so even as we go through this entire message, I do want to put a single question in front of you to chew on during the next half an hour or so. And here's what it is. The question is, who is on your team? Even by being here, you're on the Journey of Faith team, but I'm talking more personally here. Who are the people by name who support you, who love you, who encourage you and challenge you in your desire to grow closer to God? That's what we're going to talk about today. In my own life, I still remember the first team of spiritual friends that I ever had. I became a Christian, made a decision to follow Jesus as a freshman in high school, and I made that decision at an incredibly tiny church in Wisconsin where I lived. And at that tiny church, I made that decision at the tiniest of little youth groups. At one point, our youth group had 3 kids in it, and then we exploded in growth up to 5 or 6. And so it was a really precious community. My team that I got to experience was people who loved me, people who supported me, people who were going to help me take next steps of faith in that little youth group. But as a teenager in that little youth group, we had a dream, and the dream was that we were going to make an awesome worship band. The problem was that all of us were kind of garbage musicians. None of us were any good at any instrumentation. In fact, the person leading our worship time at my little youth group was our youth pastor, who had just come out of Bible college in California, and he had a guitar, an acoustic guitar, but he only knew, maybe musicians will understand, he only knew how to play in downstrokes. So we would sing, and he'd be like, strum, 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 and it would be like, strum, Lord, I strum your name on strum, strum. It was terrible. It was the worst worship ever. Then a miracle occurred. Now, we were at that time, most of the 5 or 6 of us were like totally dweeby sophomores at that point. But one of us, I can't remember who, got up the courage to invite this really cool, big, tall senior guy named Matt Love. And for whatever reason, the Lord was moving in Matt Love's heart because he agreed to come to our little youth group. And at that youth group, Matt found Jesus. He turned his life over to God, received the forgiveness of Jesus, wanted to follow him with his life, and Matt Love was an incredible guitarist. He was a great musician. He was one of those guys who, like, you would hand him a guitar and he'd go like, and all of us, our minds were blown. He was this incredible dude. But it wasn't, and then he joined our absolutely terrible worship team. And at that moment, Matt did something great. First of all, Matt was amazing as a worship leader, as a guitar player, but he shared his talents with us. He helped those of us who were no good at music gain a little bit of skill, grow a little bit in our musicianship. And by the end, we truly were a pretty good worship band in our little youth group. In fact, it helped us reach people in our high school to be able to say that we were at a level of musicianship and engaging worship where people would come and they would find Jesus in our little youth group. It was an amazing time in my life. I still think of how grateful I am to be on Matt Love's team, not just his worship team, but on his Do Life Together in Faith team. That's what we need. Who are the Matt Loves in your life? The people who are going to have influence on you, that are going to be influenced by you so that you together can make a difference for Jesus. Today, we're going to read a section of the end of the book of Romans where Paul, writing, tells us exactly who is the Matt Loves of his life. Who are the people that are on his team? And the lesson we're going to learn from that is this. This is our main idea today. We can develop a powerful team around faith. Not just a tiny team, not just a weak team, but a powerful team that will support us in faith. If you have your Bibles with you, or if you want to pull this up on your phone, we are going to read a very unique portion of scripture today at the very end of the book, the letter of Romans. Here's the passages we're going to read today from Romans chapter 16. And this passage is very unique because, again, it's at the end of a letter. And what Paul does in this section is he by name thanks many of the friends that he has in his life, lists for us who the people are who are on his team. Now, for some of you who have read your Bibles, maybe you can admit that you're a little bit like me. When you come to a passage like this where it's just a big list of names, what do we usually do in these things? Skip it. That's what we do. We skim it until we, and by the way, that's totally fine. There are times where you need to skim some stuff, friends. But Jason assigned me this passage today, and gosh darn it, we're going to use it as our primary text. And so the best news is that they're really, with a little bit of context clues, a little bit of study and research, it turns out that we can learn an awful lot from this straight-up list of people's names that were part of Paul's life. So I am, and it's going to seem odd, I am going to read you this very listy part of the Bible out loud in these 15 verses. But while I do, I want you to see if you can find the answers. Think about these two questions as I read it to you. Here's the question. What types of people are on Paul's friendship list? And then the second question is this. What does he commend them for? Why are these people on his list of his teammates? Okay, that's the thing I want you to read for. Okay, look for. So let me get started. Here are the first 15, 16 verses of Romans 16. Here's what it says. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Phoebe here, his friend, gets a very special mention because she is being introduced to the Christians in Rome. She is likely, very likely, the person who was delivering the letter to the Romans from Paul. There was not the Italian version of the postal service in that day. They would get a trusted church leader to carry these letters with authority to the people that they were writing to. So Phoebe gets this special mention as an intro. Then Paul, with earnest, kicks off his list. This is really going to stretch, by the way, I need some grace here, stretch my pronunciation of old-timey Roman names, so forgive me if you're like some expert, get over it. Let's just work on this together. You'll see what I mean. Okay, here's what it is. Here's the list. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphras. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, ooh, that's an easy one, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who were in prison with me. They're highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Remember, greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Astrobulus, Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet this guy Rufus, I like that name, that the Lord picked out to be his very own, and his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. I think one more. Give my greetings to Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and to Olympus and all the believers who meet with them. Whew, I did it. I feel really good. Thank you so much. I needed that. Now, how many of you could admit that if you hit this part of scripture you're reading, that it is a little more difficult to find spiritual direction and meaning in this kind of passage? You may have skimmed even as I was reading. You skimmed a little bit in your brain. That is totally fine. Let me tell you the good news. We can learn at least one big important lesson right off the bat, even without any digging, from this passage. And that is this: very clearly, Paul had a big spiritual support team. He lists 29 different individuals that he wants to thank, to show gratitude towards. He loves these people. He wants to list them by name so that he can, in a small way, reciprocate the love and the support that they've had for him. But remember those questions. I do want to look at together the why, what kind of people are on this. Actually, let me say that even before this. I just said that it's a big support team. I do want to say, just as an aside, that some of us have trouble building a big team of friendships. We're not outgoing, extroverted people who are just social butterflies. I don't want you to be confused and think Paul was cheating by just being good at that. That really annoys me when someone is just great at making friends, because I'm really bad at that. I'm like, what the heck? Anyway, Paul is not that way. Paul is like me, like us, if you're like this. Paul is known for being a committed, strong Christian, but he had some dark sides to his personality. Paul was so strict about his beliefs that he often came across as arrogant to others, something he really didn't like about himself. He was not a social butterfly. The lesson we're supposed to learn from that long passage isn't Paul was easy at making friends. Instead, it's just the opposite, that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was doing work in the heart of Paul to help him to change and to become a person who was relatable, even when that was not his nature. Paul built this strong list not because he was a social butterfly, an extrovert. It's because the Lord was joining him together with others in faith. That's really important. If Paul could do it, so can I. So can you. God wants to knit us together with people. Now, let me show you that entire passage on one screen. Look at this. I'm not expecting you to read this, by the way. We're going to use this just as a visual map. But I want to show you some of the types of people that were on Paul's list. First, remember I said 29 people are listed by name here. 10 to 12 of them are women. Now, that's very significant, especially 2,000 years ago, because in this culture, and especially in religious circles, men and women were not seen on a level of equality. Instead, Paul, as a religious traveling teacher, could have exclusively interacted with men. But Paul was not called to his culture alone. Paul was called to be redefined by the culture of Jesus in his life. And he tells us later that there is a new lens in which Christians are supposed to see the world. Here's what he says later in a different passage. He says, listen, you're children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. You are one in Christ Jesus. So his reference to these women, my favorite are, did you catch this, Tryphena and Tryphosa, who are likely twins. I just think that's such a beautiful way to name your kids, or weird. I don't know how they felt about it. But I love that Paul makes specific mention of these women who have not just a cultural, but a spiritual impact of leadership in his life that really should stick out to us as important. Another category, let me show you another map here. These are the people, these three, that he specifically said are like him, Jewish believers, people who had previously been part of the Jewish faith, who had found Jesus and are now Christians. The implication is that everyone else mentioned didn't come from that background, came from a different religious or non-religious background. The point here is that Paul had even people with different spiritual backgrounds who were influential in his life. And then one more map I want to show you here is that he greets these people as people who came to faith in Jesus before he did. In fact, this one guy, Rufus, he says there, it's possible that Rufus met Jesus before Jesus was crucified, something that Paul never got to do. So these people, it's not on Paul's list, weren't just people that he was influencing. He is not at the top of this social order. He is somewhere in the middle of people influencing him and people that he is influencing. There may even be an age disparity there, a diversity in age. So we have lots of people, different men and women. He has people from different religious backgrounds. He has different people of ages and influence levels. Here's what we're supposed to learn. Not only did Paul have a big spiritual support team, but he had a big, diverse spiritual support team. He did not allow himself to fall into the trap of being influenced only by people who thought exactly the same way that he did. That's what Pastor Jason talked about significantly last week, is that if we only are influenced by people exactly like us, that's not influence at all. That's an echo chamber. It's useless to us. We need to create a team of people who can critically speak into our lives for the spiritual good. Now, there is one more category I want to show you, the type of person. Here's another map with all these people. Each one of these people, don't just get a name reference. Paul says that they worked hard alongside of him. They worked diligently or sacrificially for the church. He mentions that some of them, just like him, were falsely imprisoned together with him at certain times for their belief in Jesus. He makes a specific reference to these people who have given their lives, that it's not just these people are sending Paul out by himself. Instead, they are working alongside of him. That's what a team should look like. So I want to add that one phrase to us as well. Paul had a big, diverse, co-working spiritual support team. They were with him in his activity. Now, I've been using Paul, but that's not really the point of today. Let's switch this to our first main point by saying this. You should build a big, diverse, co-working spiritual support team. You were not meant to do the journey of faith alone. You are meant to be together with others, to shape each other, to form each other, to listen and pray to God together, to experience him in a way that is supportive and moving forward. Let me give you an action step of how. How can we do this? I do want to challenge you in this one area today. I want to ask you to take a major step this week towards building your spiritual support team by serving. The number one easiest, best front door experience we have here at Journey of Faith for you to begin building a spiritual support network, a team, is to volunteer here at Journey, to serve here at Journey. That would mean volunteering with our kids' world or in our production world or with our student ministries or the people who greet us or make the coffee or all these kind of things. If you volunteer once a month, twice a month, you will first of all be creating the environment that we have that people are welcomed in. But in addition to that, you'll be standing and working right next to someone else who is on that same road. And they will be different than you. They will have a different spiritual background. They will have different experiences, and they will be able, you together, will start to get to know each other. By the way, some of you are already in this serving journey, and that's great. I want you to push further into that relationship building. But others of you, I'm trying not to make eye contact with you because you've been here a long time, and you have not yet dived in. You need to. You need to get engaged. This is not meant, church is not meant to, your experience of God is not meant to be only something that you receive. It's meant to be something you co-work, you participate in to say, hey, I'm gonna share that with others as I go. So is it your time? Is it your time to begin building this spiritual team? Serving is a great way to do that. You can use that Connect card that we use often to get some more information about that even this week. All right. That was the first half of the message. For the second part, Paul introduces a problem. Paul introduces a challenge that if we build our team, we're going to face. And in order to teach this part, I'm going to do something very youth ministry of myself, where I have had five to six men volunteers. Guys, are you here? I'm gonna ask you to come gather this way. I see you sitting there, come on, let's go, there he is, I'm calling you out. We have the 4, 5, 6 guys over here. They're gonna come up on platform with me in just a second. We're going to learn something together. They're supporting each other, good job, guys, way to go. All right, oh, there's one, Brian, coming from the back. All right, guys, together, can you come up? This is so fun. When's the last time we had other human beings up here? This is so great, look at these guys. They're brave. Here's the thing to know, too, as they come up. They don't know what I'm asking them to do yet, so that is extra brave. Guys, come all the way here, maybe to that carpet there. Wow, look at all these dudes. Way to go, guys, way to go. Oh, yeah, that's good. All right. I am going to call, hey, Brian, can you do me a favor? Brian, can you come over here for a second? Brian's going to stand over here. Here's the challenge. I need you five guys right about here to make a circle and lock arms, okay? Make a circle and lock arms. Now, Brian, what's going to happen? Jose joined in. What's going to happen is in just a second, a 15-second countdown is going to come up on this screen. You have 15 seconds to get into that circle.
Okay.
On your mark, get set, go. Brian, get in there. Get in there, Brian. Squeeze in. Oh, what's happening, Jose? No, Jose is not. Okay, Brian, maybe try a different tactic. Oh, underneath. Oh, he almost. Okay, he did it. Give a big hand, you guys. Hey, give them all a big hand. Brian, you're the best. You guys are so helpful. That was all that you needed to do. I wasn't even looking. I was so intense. It was so intense. What, did he make it in 15 seconds? Okay, wow, Brian's our guy. That's amazing. Hey, while they're heading back, let's talk about the lesson here. What instructions did I give that group of guys? I said he, Brian, had 15 seconds to get into the circle. What did I tell those guys to do? Did I tell them to keep him out? No. They just did. That's not their fault. It's a game. But listen, I wanted to show you that because our human nature, without any instruction, once we find our team, our wiring is like, oh, good, we got this. Let's huddle up. Let's lock arms. Oh, somebody else wants to get in? No, Brian. Poor Brian. I feel bad for that guy. But truly, I mean, it's not actually those guys in their hearts. I'm sure they're better than this. But the truth is that in the church, this has been a major problem throughout Christian history. No one has completely solved it. That when we're motivated by the Spirit of God to find our spiritual support team, I don't care if that ends up being 5 people or 30 people, we are all prone to just by nature developing a pattern where we say, oh good, we feel safe. Listen, walking the Christian road is hard. It's difficult. And when we find that support team, it's such a relief. But it can lead us to accidentally becoming what we just accidentally do in an example like that, where we huddle in so close that we actually have an inward focus to the point where getting into our circle is very difficult. And Paul wants to tell us that's not the way of Jesus. In fact, he says in the first half of this book, he says, here's the team, you should have a team. But then he says very specifically why this team should exist. He says, this team should exist so that the message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey God. When he says Gentiles here, he's talking about people with no religious background, who have walked away from any sense of faith, who don't have an inherent background that would help them find God. He's saying the message is for them. And your team isn't supposed to huddle in and keep people out. Your team is supposed to huddle in so that we're able to share outwardly. The mission of God does not stop in the church, does not culminate on a Sunday morning. It culminates with what God, through you, wants to do in sharing with people who need his love so badly. In fact, there's a cycle. Oh, I forgot my little stand here. I've left it behind here. So passionate about saying. This is really comforting to me, which is why I brought it back. The thing that we need, the cycle of Christianity is meant to be this. Look at this. Our unity leads to invitation. Not our unity leads to a Christian social club. Our unity leads to sharing Jesus with those who don't know him yet. That's where you came from, isn't it? So many of you needed that invitation, that share in your life. And our goal, and let me just show you, our second main point today is this. We should center ourselves around Jesus in order to share Jesus. How can your team strengthen you for the going out? For the sharing. Now, by the way, I know that's a scary thing. And how do we share our faith? How do we share in an invitational way? That's something we all can grow in. In fact, let me give a special plug for those of you who are in life groups. This weekend, life groups, you're going to be talking about the whole book of Romans and going through a tool. And here's what the tool is called. It's called the Romans Road. The Romans Road was a technique invented about 100 years ago, where it's just through the book of Romans, taking a few key verses from Romans that easily explain the basics of the Christian faith. And by memorizing, by practicing the Romans Road, it can help us become more fluent, more ready to share the basic message of Jesus. I really want to encourage you to make it to your life group this week. But for those, and even if you're in a life group or not, I really believe that if we are going to share, it is going to require that we say something out loud down the road. But for right now, it's going to take a mental shift, a heart shift to want to care about people enough and their spiritual state to say, boy, there's an urgency to my sharing. There's an urgency to the mission that God has called me to. So along with that, here's the action step. Because this is a heart change, I want to ask you to spend 30 minutes this week letting Jesus shift you into an outward perspective. That we, each of us, need the Lord to do work in us, to talk to us, to soften our hearts, so we would become people who say, wow, Lord, just like I was invited into your circle, how can I help that happen too? This is really difficult stuff. This is really a challenge. I want to, if we can put just a half an hour towards that in connection with Jesus, it will be worthwhile. By the way, it is such a challenge that Paul ends by giving us a verse like this. Here's a few of his verses in closing. He says, now all glory to God who is able to make you strong. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. He says you're going to need his strength. He says you're going to need God's wisdom as we navigate this idea of growing closer together so that we can reach outward. That is his goal. Hey, before we head to communion, let's review what we looked at today. We can develop a powerful team around faith. That's what I want for each and every one of us. How do we do that? Well, you should build a big, diverse, co-working spiritual support team. Start with serving if that's a place that works for you. And then second, we should center ourselves around Jesus in order to share Jesus. Hey, we are going to end the service now with a time of communion. We're going to gather around a holy symbol of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So I'm going to pray in just a second, and you're going to see right now the band is going to start to load here and also at Torrance, because we're going to sing a song as we experience communion together. And this is just a chance for us to practice what I just said. How do we recognize in this holy moment a sacred symbol that's meant to center us around Jesus, the Jesus that people in our community need? The Jesus that will rescue, the Jesus that will save is what we're celebrating together in communion. So pray with me, and then we're going to hand it over to Jason over at Torrance to lead over there. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for what you're calling us to. Thank you for your love, your deep love for us. Lord Jesus, point out ways that we can build our spiritual support team. Point out people that we could resonate with. Point out ways that we could have a softer heart to engage with people. Thank you, Lord God, for the way you want to knit us together on a team. But then, oh Lord God, turn our hearts to the people who need you. Turn our hearts to a place of invitation, to growth, to an understanding that people need your love, and we are the letter bearers. We are the message bearers for you. Thank you, Lord, for engaging us that same way. Help us to love you even as we experience communion today. I pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.